You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we talk about the pros and cons of having police officers in schools as the Madison Public School District takes a closer look at its current policy.
First, we continue our summer music series, Setlist. We invited artists from all over the Midwest into the WPR studios for interviews and exclusive musical performances that air every Friday at this time until Labor Day weekend.
Today we feature the Eau Claire band Kalispell, who recently stopped by our studio to play songs from the latest album, Printer's Son, and talk about navigating the continual tension between the love of making music and the wear and tear of being on the road playing that music.
Shane, thanks so much, and welcome to the studios of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for playing live for us today.
It's a thrill to be here. Thanks for having us.
So you started out with a song called Gary, Indiana. Can you tell us a little bit about that song and where it came from?
Sure. I was living around the Milwaukee area, well, Chicago and then Milwaukee. And so any time that I headed out on tour, which was often, like monthly, it started with a drive through Gary. And I know that I am no ancient explorer. Smoke signals black, rising slow. I'm driving across my own ancient America, jotting down words as I go. And, you know, it's not one of the most aesthetically pleasing places in the world, unless you're really into, like, Mordor imagery. And I apologize to the residents of Gary for saying that. But so I was driving through it, and I don't know, I was thinking about how I was away from friends at home and people I loved at home a lot. And I was thinking about how I don't write many songs for people in my life. And I thought that I could do that, but they would probably just appreciate me being home more often. You know, like in exchange.
So it's a guilty road trip song?
Yeah, it's like an anti-love song in a way. But it's not, I mean, it's not that cynical. It's just, that's what I was thinking about when I wrote the song.
You did have a line about getting rid of the nostalgia for the road, that there's not so romantic, it sounds like, once you're actually out there driving through Gary, Indiana.
It's up and down, you know? The first times that you go out, everything is exciting and beautiful, even though you're in someone's, like, damp, crumbling basement playing for 10 people. It still feels magical and special, and it is. But, you know, as you do it more and more, part of that wears off. Because you have these friendships and these bonds that you form with people when you're on the road. But over time, I feel like I've come to realize that the part of their lives that you're getting to know is like only their weekends or only like their evening when they're out having fun. And in a way, those friendships, if you put too much onus on them, can start to feel empty. So yeah, the song is about, you know, the tension of like wanting to do that and loving playing music and loving touring, but also having this meta awareness that it's not necessarily 100% sustainable from like a spirit perspective.
So did you decide to start staying at home more, stop touring so much after you wrote this? Or is it just one of those moments, now you're aware of it, but you got to do what you got to do because you're a musician?
I'm probably away even more since I wrote that, which I'm thankful for because I get to work with a lot of really wonderful people. The idea is to tour smarter, not necessarily harder. I mean, I love playing shows, but that's like 5% of your day when you're on tour. And the other 95% is usually you're looking through a windshield at the world.
Get over the romance of long distance travel. The sentiments still to recite. Like a late evening gush of ecstatic discussion. Neil Cassidy already tried.
Been playing from Printer's Son, and I wonder if you could tell us about where this album came from for you.
It mostly came from reflecting on my connection with my immediate family. And so a lot of the songs on the record are about my relationship with my dad. He's one of the people who inspired me and taught me most in my life. But we also had these stark political and social contrasts. It became sort of ironic in a difficult way because after the songs were written, he kind of suddenly passed. He was diagnosed with cancer and passed less than a year later. Mm-hmm. So singing the songs and thinking about the record now is very different to me than when I wrote the songs.
I'm sorry to hear about your dad, and I know that you write about that. You not only lost your father, it sounds like you also lost your grandfather at that time. There might have been even more areas of loss and transition in there. So how would you said it's different now. How does this album feel to you as a memento of those relationships and that love?
Yeah, it was an intense 2 years or so of change. Yeah, losing my dad, and then shortly after going to visit his dad, my grandfather, on his deathbed and talking to him. And, you know, we also lost our family dog a couple months ago, which seems like a contrite country song, you know, but it's true. And also at the same time, I was leaving a relationship that I'd been in, you know, a long time. The person who was very supportive and intelligent and kind, but a relationship that had run its course. And so it was scary going through all that change, but it produced outcomes that I never would have expected. Like, I think now I love and appreciate my dad more than I ever did, you know, unfortunately, when we were around each other. I think it works that way for a lot of people when they lose someone. But immediately following all that, I unexpectedly also met, you know, this woman who's an incredible, beautiful, insightful person who I married, and now we have a daughter together.
I met her.
Yeah.
she's beautiful.
Right, she's right over there. So I am looking at, like, Shane 2 years ago. I'm in a totally different place. It's wild to me. I wonder where I'll be in another 2 years. I wouldn't mind if it was slightly more predictable for the next couple of years.
And on the day of a wedding, beside the lake, or rather the same place, 2 years too late. And I'm parked by the wayside, we dropped you off. Breathing the thinning air, ditch weed and loss.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the influences on your music. And I read on your bio, again on your website, that you have an interest in folk melodies. You have an interest in improvisation, kind of from the jazz world, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Formal composition, you worked with gamelan ensembles, you've studied banjo traditions in Appalachia. How does that all come together and get synthesized in your music?
I'm glad that you mentioned the gamelan music. I think a lot of times people don't mention that because they're not sure what it is.
I didn't hear a gamelan here today, but I know it's got to influence you somehow.
Yeah. I try to be open to as much as I can. I grew up playing jazz music and, you know, my teacher was a jazz musician, and so I didn't really choose it. It kind of came to me. And, you know, then I figured that I should go to college for music before I realized that to be a professional musician, you just have to keep practicing. You don't have to have a diploma that says musician on it. So I tried to study classical music more seriously in college, more out of, like, guilt than anything else, because I felt like I should get my comeuppance and do that. And it didn't stick, you know, so I studied English instead in college. But the classical music was in there. And after that, I moved out to Boston and ended up playing with this wild gamelan that it was like traditional Balinese music, but they also had robots that were built at MIT that like played themselves as instruments. And,
wow.
And then also like during college, I met all of these old time musicians who played old time fiddle and banjo who inspired me to spend serious amounts of time in like West Virginia and Kentucky and Tennessee. I think I'm just always trying to figure out how to synthesize them in as seamless a way as possible.
And suddenly the girl Irene, soft brown hair, her features plain, to her lover Jane, she'd often call and ask to be his beauty.
Well, I think I heard that in your song Beautiful Doll. How do you hear that one coming together?
Well, the guts of that tune are an old banjo tune called Beautiful Doll. But at the same time that I was learning that tune at a wonderful place in West Virginia called the Augusta Heritage Center, I was also listening to a lot of Philip Glass. And it just made its way together in my brain and came out in this kind of cascading way. So I kind of feel like the first half of that has a more traditional clawhammer banjo sound. And then it goes into this almost Reichian kind of like minimalist phase piece at the end.
Yeah, it does. Up. I know you're from Eau Claire, and Eau Claire has become almost this musica mecca these days, thanks in part to Justin Verdon, thanks to a lot of a creative community that sort of just seems to infuse Eau Claire, too.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something special about what's going on in Eau Claire, and what do you think it is?
Yeah, I really believe that it's extremely special, and I think for a lot of us who like went to college there or grew up there, there's been a complicated relationship with it. It's weird to have the peers who immediately surround you all of a sudden like take off on these cosmic paths, you know? Like the things that Justin's doing now and that he's able to make happen are wild, like on a global scale with all different kinds of artists. And so there's a complicated relationship of like being thankful for that and being inspired by it. But then the question is like, well, who am I and what am I doing? And I don't, you know, it's like, what's my place in all that? But I think the thing that is special about Eau Claire, to more directly answer your question, is that it's big enough that there's always interesting things going on and there's a real groundswell of creativity, but it's still a small town in most people's minds, you know, which is nice. I hope that it stays that way, but continues to just quietly be incredible.
Well, you guys were fantastic. Thank you so much, Shane, for coming in and playing today.
Thanks for having us.
Was the Eau Claire band Kalispell. You can catch them performing live August 4th at the Sounds Like Summer concert series in Eau Claire.
Coming up, a Wisconsin school district is reconsidering having police officers in high schools. A guest looks at the arguments and data surrounding the issue. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.